Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here is the latest sermon in our current teaching series, All Kinds of Prayer.
Thank you, dear Father, for the privilege we have of gathering once again today to think, to pray, to worship, to humble ourselves, to build community. Father, as we talk and think about prayer, we realize that it is something that we talk about often and probably don't do enough of. It's something that we, many of us believe in, but then we find ourselves not as motivated toward it as we should be. It's something that is a promise to us, and yet it's a mystery to us, God. And so I just pray that you, O God, knowing us, will help each of us find something to think about or to respond to, or to learn today that might help us take another step closer to you and get a little deeper in our walk with Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Well, coming to church, like I said last week, coming to church and hearing that we're going to talk about prayer, not surprising. There's lots of venues where if you heard prayer was on the agenda of things to talk about, it's not surprising. ESPN, that's a little surprising. Guys sitting around a desk in a pregame talking about praying is not something that normally happens, but there's a guy that's been kind of pushing it lately. Have you seen that? Now, I saw Kim Johnson between the services. She was out by the I need board, because her mom just put I need a husband on the board, and Kim got down on one knee. So we're now officially going to call that Kimming. Okay, it's T-bowing everywhere else. Here it's Kimming. And anyway, the whole phenomena of this guy in a major sport situation, very public, not just very public, but somebody who's right at the heart of not just maybe this idea of praying publicly, but the idea of being successful in praying publicly. It's kind of an interesting thing. And, he's definitely getting attention. And I'm not even suggesting he's trying to do it in a bad way. In fact, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago on Saturday Night Live, there was a pretty funny skit where Jesus comes into the locker room, and every time Jesus says something, Tim Tebow rushes up and goes, "Yes, Jesus." And I thought, that's pretty, they got it pretty good. Because I really think a lot of what he's doing is out of a real enthusiasm, okay? And far be it from me to judge somebody for doing that, okay? But I think when you do something that publicly, it's likely to stir some conversation, right? You know, I've had people say, "Do you think he should be doing that?" You know, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. Some of the conversations bother me, because some of the conversations force me to think about stuff that I probably wouldn't think about if he wasn't doing that. And they're good things to think about. You know, I'm not a big football fan. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. If we could get more praying on the sidelines, I think I would become more interested. Honestly, I mean, I do like the sport. I mean, I grew up in Nebraska. We have a little thing there called the Cornhuskers, Big Red. And when I was a kid, they dominated, okay? I mean, it was, so to be from Nebraska, I mean, football was like one of the only things we had in Nebraska. Come on, okay? When you live in a university town like Lincoln, Nebraska, like I did for many years, and football, the Cornhusker Stadium is the third largest city in the state. Okay? So when football takes over the entire city every week, you do get a little tired of it, okay? Because you sort of feel like you're living in a stadium the whole time. As I know some of you that's like, are you kidding? That's heaven, right? But in watching some of the video and seeing some of the clips of Tebow, Tim Tebow here, I don't know exactly if anybody knows exactly what he's praying or what he's saying, but I have seen that you can tell. I'm not a good lip reader, but he's talking. You know, he's not just bowing, he's talking. Okay? And so presumably he's talking to God. You know, I don't know, maybe he's going, don't let me screw up this press conference today, oh Lord. I don't know. He may not be, maybe he's praying for a win. Maybe he's just thanking God that he's in his prime and doing well. Thank you for letting me do this. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's humility. I don't know. But you know, a lot of people seem to think he's just asking to win. And that does create some kind of ethical questions, doesn't it? One of the funniest cartoons I've seen, and there's been just a whole pile of cartoons about this. One of the funniest ones I saw was in New Yorker magazine, where it's got another quarterback saying, he's being interviewed after the game. He says, the first thing I want to do is blame the Lord for losing this game today. You know, presumably, if God is picking winners, you know, that he's picking some losers too, you know. So, first of all, I'd like to blame God for not helping us win today, you know. It really brings the biggest question of all is, does God actually even care? You know, now I know on some level God cares about everything, okay? But do you really think that God cares which millionaire gets a touchdown? You know, somebody forwarded me, a friend of mine right here in church, forwarded me an email or it's actually a bumper sticker. I went and looked online a little bit. There's a bumper sticker that was posted on an atheist blog, and I think it's connected to this question about what does God care about and whose prayer is God listening to? And here's what it said. This came into my little Google circle thing. 26,000 children will die of starvation today. Why should God answer your prayers? That's a tough one, isn't it? Thanks, Jordan. Jordan's keeping his eye out for material that might help me in my sermons about prayer. That's true. I think that this question is, do you think this is a valid question? Does it get to the heart of a pretty sticky question about prayer? I think so. And I think this question is connected to some deep misunderstandings of what a Christian view of prayer is, okay? Just for the record, the question says, why should God answer your prayers? And my answer to this was, why shouldn't he? Because in a way, I think it's a little bit of a straw man. You know, the fact that 26,000 kids die today does not equal God does not hear prayer. Okay? In fact, what I wrote was, well, why shouldn't he answer my prayer? You know, 26,000 children dying of starvation is not a good excuse for God to be deaf. Right? But the misunderstanding that I think this question is tied to is the idea that prayer is something it's not. A lot of people talk about prayer like prayer is like speaking out into the cosmos, speaking out toward God, you know, like your wishes. And be careful. Think about your wishes in just the right way. You got to really believe in your wishes or they won't come true. Have you noticed this? For many people, prayer is just sort of a sanctified language for wishing. You know, some people talk about wishes coming true. Other people talk about answered prayer. What's the difference? You know, if the idea is that I'm just launching something out here for God to do something about it, you know, some maybe a wish list is the wrong way to put it. For some of us, it's not even a wish list. It's a things to do list. Dear Lord, I have posted the things I need you to do this week. Please get on that right away. Remember, my faith is counting on this. Right? But I would suggest to you that one of the reasons Christians should pray is that God has something in mind for you in relationship with 26,000 starving kids. And that 26,000 starving kids, that's just a metaphor at this point in our service. You know, that's just that's barely a scratch on the surface of all the suffering this world has to dish out. But what I'm suggesting to you is simply this, that if people were really praying to God in submission to God, not just launching, catapulting wishes into outer space, if they were actually bowing the knee, submitting to God and saying, God, I'm praying to you about this in a really orthodox, dangerous, Christ-like way, it would change things. Because I think that if we can put a camera on Mars, we probably have it within our ability to get a Happy Meal to the Horn of Africa. You know, I don't know if you are aware of how many billions of dollars a day are being spent on war and military and walls in this world, but let me suggest to you that there's a really good chance we'd have enough money to take care of some problems in this world if our priorities were straight. And this is one of the things that should cause us to pray, because prayer isn't just launching your wishes into outer space. Prayer is bowing your knee and saying, here I am, Lord, what do I do? And let me warn you, this is not pretty. It's going to wreck stuff for you. I like sports. But I'll be honest with you. I can't even go to an NFL game without a sick stomach. Do you know why? I watched this guy put $80 on his credit card for beers. And what bothers me is I don't think the guy should be putting that on his credit card. But somebody's very happy for him to do so. When I look at the whole system, when I look around that room and I think how much money got spent right now in this place, right here, and the stuff we could do. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I remember, you remember the story when the woman was washing Jesus' feet? And Judas, you know, not the guy I'm trying to emulate, he says, oh, this is terrible. This money could have been spent on something to help the poor, right? Well, remember, that money was being spent on honoring Jesus. It wasn't being spent on gratifying ourselves. And I think when we start praying and really submitting and bowing the knee to a God we believe is sovereign, who is asking for something from us, it's going to change the way we look at some things. Amen? Even a whimpery amen? I mean, prayer is not wishing. Prayer is submission to God. And what does it accomplish? Well, if it works, if you're really thinking rightly, not only does it express to God what's on your heart, it's helping God change your heart so that you might be aware, that you might be obedient, that you might be guided, that you might actually do something, take action. Because once you see something, you have to do something. You know, and I'm not just talking about like starving kids someplace. I mean, do you think that the teachers in Burnsville, and I'm not getting political here, I'm just asking you, do you think that school teachers in Burnsville and Apple Valley and Lakeville and Farmington and whatever other towns we're from here, do you think they're overpaid for what they do? No. I mean, if you're at the coffee shop and somebody says it's a crime what this person makes for that, You know, if we're singing a song on a rock concert stage, and it's a, and, you know, compared to, do you, would you join in and say, yeah, it sure is? Let me ask you something. Do you know why it costs $150 for a U2 concert ticket? Or why people who play in major league baseball or pick your sport, why they get paid so much? Do you know why they get paid so much? Because you can get it. Because we'll pay it. I guarantee you, if people had their priorities straight and say, look it, I love this game, but I don't love it enough to screw up my priorities this much, it would change things. Huh? You want me to quit? Am I getting too close to home?
It hurts a little.
Well, that means I'm getting started. By the time I'm done, it'll hurt a lot. Here's some principles. First of all, we got to put first things first. Prayer moves us to put first things first. Jesus, when he taught his disciples how to pray, said this. This is how you should pray. Let's read it together. Will you read it with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the first word? Our. It's not my Father. The very first word of this prayer says, remember, you come as one of many. It's an us. All of humanity comes before God. If you're going to come to your Father, remember, it's not about you and him. It's about us and him. Our Father, what Father? The Father in heaven, right? It's relational, but it's also authoritative, right? That heaven word is about God's authority. It's like saying, God, we acknowledge your authority. We look to you as our holy and righteous Father, and we're coming to you. And that word, hallowed be your name, do you know if something's holy? Do you know what that means? That means there are some things that aren't. So when you say, our Father in heaven, that's the authority, holy is your name, that's already implying that we think that if we're going to bow our knee to this holy God who has authority over our lives, that there are some things that are good and some things that aren't. Right? And so then what's the first request of this prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done. What? Shouldn't we ask for something to eat first? Give us this day our daily bread. Isn't that in there? Yeah, it comes after God's will. Did you know that even forgive me my debts and help me to be forgiving? That comes after this acknowledgement that God has a will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. One of the things we do in prayer is we submit ourselves. We bow the knee and say, God is the one who decides what's right and wrong. And before I come and ask about anything for me, I want to acknowledge that God is holy and I want his way to be done. Make sense? That's the first principle of prayer and submission. Here's the second principle. We're reverent in our submission. It says that in Hebrews chapter 5 that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, are you interested in how Jesus prayed? I hope so. During his life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Fervent cries and tears. Does that sound like it might be noisy? Yeah. Now you know why Jesus got off to a place to be alone. Didn't want to scare everybody. You know, you get off alone so you can really get real and really pour out your heart and really pray. And I think the Hebrew writer here is making a reference to Jesus' prayer in the garden. Let this cup pass from me. But I don't think it's exclusively that prayer. I think Jesus' practice was to get up and get alone and pour his heart out to God. And why was his prayer heard? Why were Jesus' prayers heard? Because of his reverent submission. Jesus poured out his heart with some passion and some feeling but his knee was bowed because he said, it's not about what I'm asking, it's about what God is asking. Amen? And the Hebrew writer goes on to say, he says, you know, look, when we're going through the tough times, he says, Jesus was refined through the tough times. And the Hebrew writer says, you and I can be refined through the tough times. In fact, he says, when life is hard, you should think of this as something that God is using to refine you. I mean, there's nobody I know that wants to sign up for trouble and hardship. But there's also no humble, God-fearing, Christ-following person I know that won't tell you the hardship refined them and got them closer to the Lord. You don't want things to be hard? That's like saying, I don't want to be refined. Now, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Believe me, there's plenty of things I'd like to snap my fingers and say, God, right now, that would be good. I don't get it. And the Hebrew writer is not trying to explain it to us. The Hebrew writer is just saying this. Accept it like something that's refining you and just keep submitting. He says, how much more should we submit to the Father, you know, than our earthly fathers? You've all submitted to someone, something that had authority over you and you were better for it. The Hebrew writer says, don't you think that submission to God is going to work out for your good? In fact, he goes on to say in Hebrews 12:11, he says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, what does it do? It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. For who? For the people who have been trained by it. What's the it? Hardship. Discipline. Submission to God is not just about priorities. It's not just about reverence. It's about understanding that through submission, our lives get better. Well, in what things should I be submissive? Here's the fourth principle today. Everything. Proverbs chapter 3, the proverb writer says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, now I'm used to saying in all your ways, acknowledge him. But I almost always have to explain what that means. So I'm kind of happy with this new translation. In all your ways, what? Submit to him. That's what it means to acknowledge him. It means like, okay, here I am in this situation. What should I do? Submit to God. What about my entertainment? What should I do? Submit to God. What about how I spend my money? What should I do? Submit to God. How about how I eat? What should I do? Submit to God. How about how I'm dealing with a crisis in my family? What should I do? Submit to God. Listen, friends, prayer is a vital and important thing to do if you are going to submit to God. Many people, when they're going through hardships, struggles, difficulties, you know what I ask them to do? I'll give them a prayer and say, pray this prayer. And sometimes even as I give them the prayer, I can tell the resistance to it. Do you know why? It takes a lot of humility to submit and pray. Did you know, you say last week we talked about humility, right? Did you know humility and submission are different? Very different. Did you know that? Like, I saw a cartoon this week, had this guy sitting at a bar. And he's pouring out his heart to the bartender. And he says this, he says, the first line says, I'm nothing. And the second line was, and yet I'm all I ever think about. That's the difference between humility and submission. It's possible to be humble in a way, in other words, to not think too highly of yourself, and at the same time, still think only of yourself. Right? So we're taking it not just to be humble before God, but also to say, I'm handing it over to God. In all my ways, I'm going to submit to Him. Last week I gave you kind of a long prayer from Thomas Merton. It seems like it hit a nerve. A few people came up to me today and said, can I get a copy of that prayer from last week? So I print that off for him. Today I'm giving you a really short prayer. It's from Brother Lawrence, who was a 17th century monk. He was a Carmelite. You can Google that if you want, okay? Look it up on Wikipedia. It's like an order of like Franciscans or Dominicans, okay, the Carmelites. And Brother Lawrence is famous for seeking God and wanting to be aware of God's presence in all times, in all things, okay? And here's the prayer I'm giving you this week. It's pretty short. I think you could even memorize it. Let's read it together. Here we go. Lord, make me according to thy heart. Let's say it again. Lord, make me according to thy heart. What's that prayer saying? God, make me somebody who the way I live and the way I think and the things I do, they're all shaped by your heart, God. See, prayer is important. I'm suggesting to you that if more Christians prayed submissively saying, Lord, make us according to your heart, and did what we actually were praying and responded and took hold of what God would give us, that there would be less starving children in the world. That there would be less hardship. That the world's priorities would be less screwed up. Listen, when something goes viral these days, and I see how many Christians click on it that fast, you know, like a video went up this weekend in like a couple hours, it was like 6.5 million. You know, I know the Christians are out there because they're clicking on stuff. If they would bend their knee and submit to God as fast as they click like on Facebook, things would change. So why do we submit? Are you scared? We never even got to Psalm 139 yet. Here we go. Boom, boom. In Psalm 139, three ideas for why we should submit to God. One, God knows you better than you do. Psalmist says in verses 1 through 3, God, you've searched me, you know me, you know when I sit, you know when I stand, you perceive my thoughts from afar, you know my going out, my lying down, you're familiar with all my ways. The psalmist says, I submit to God because God knows me intimately. He knows me better than I know myself. One of the reasons you should submit to God is God knows you. Another thing the psalmist says is, God knows stuff you'll never know. He says, before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. Knew you were going to say that. Okay. He says, you hem me behind and before, you lay your hand upon me. He's saying, God, you know my past, you know where I'm going, and your hand, you've laid your hand on me. You know my past, you know my future, and you know what my purpose is. Right? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty to attain. God, you understand where I've been, you understand where I'm going, you understand my purpose in ways that I will never understand it. I better submit to you. And the last reason, because, and this makes sense, if God knows you, and he knows your purpose, he knows where you've been, and he knows where you're going, it makes sense, he should be in the driver's seat, you know? What's the old bumper sticker that used to say, Jesus is my co-pilot, and somebody said, then you should get in the back seat and let him move over. Because if Jesus is in the car, he should probably be the one driving. You know, and that's a really good story of how we think about things. Lord, I'm in control of my life, but you're free to come in and go for a ride and advise me and bless me as we go. That's not how it works. You move over and let him drive. The psalmist says, I submit to him because he's the one who can lead me. The psalmist says, search me, God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. The psalmist ultimately believes that God is the one who can show him the way to what is right and how to live and what his priority should be and what he should do and what his role is in the world, right? Look, I don't care if you're bowing on the sidelines in an NFL stadium or if you're bowing in the sidelines of the school where you work or in your car out on the parking ramp before you go into work or somewhere out on the jogging trail. I don't know. I don't care where you are. But listen to me. When you bow to the Lord and you lift up your voice in prayer, it's not about throwing wishes out there. And it's not about a things to do list for God. It's about submission. If you are going to pray, prepare yourself for things to change. Because God has not just called you to be blessed, He's called you to obey. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us to know you and to trust you and to seek you in order to submit to you and obey you and follow you. Help us to lose ourselves in order to find ourselves. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.